Rich girls and buys her dreams. It's a rich world behind the scenes. Green eyes, they tell it all. The more she takes, the harder they fall. Now she ain't easy, she ain't tough. She's had it good, then she's had it rough. I guess it don't come too much, but all she's got, she ain't got enough. And so she'll cry just a little for a few dollars more. She'll lie just a little like she's done it before. She'll take it, she'll fake it for a few dollars more. She'll show you a heart and then she'll show you the door. You know she'll lie just a little for a few dollars more. Even fly just a little like she's done it before. She'll take it, she'll fake it for a few dollars more. She'll show you a heart and then she'll show you the door. Strange things can happen to you when you got so much, you got nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. So you wonder just what you'll do. She's never known love, but then she's never known you. Sad green eyes that are so full of questions, so full of lies. And she'll cry just a little for a few dollars more. She'll lie just a little like she's done it before. She'll take it, she'll fake it for a few dollars more. She'll show you a heart and then she'll show you the door. You know she'll die just a little for a few dollars more. Even fly just a little.
Livewire with Phil Richards.
Hi, it's Phil Richards. Welcome to Livewire. And today I'm chatting with Chris Norman, who was the frontman of the giant 70s rock band Smokey, about his new solo single, Always On My Mind. Yeah, Chris, right. Hi, welcome to the programme. Welcome to Livewire.
Thank you very much. Nice to be there.
Right, so we'll be playing your new single in a few minutes' time. Just let's talk about that first of all. So you've done a new album of love songs. It's called Rediscovered Love Songs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the lead single is a beautiful cover you've done of Elvis's Always On My Mind. Absolutely cracking. Love that version you've done there.
Great. Thank you very much.
And it's got a lovely Nashville feel about it, which I guess is intentional. And a lot of your work on the album was in Nashville anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I actually started recording it in my own studio. And I did a lot of the groundwork there. And then took it to Nashville and put some extra drums on it and keyboards on it and different bits and bobs. And then I got... Jake Burns, who's like a real top sort of engineer there, to mix it for me and everything. So that's where you get that from. I think there's a certain kind of a sound that they seem to get in Nashville, which I wanted to try and get on this album.
Were the backing singers from Nashville?
No, I did the backing vocals in England. That's me and a girl called Adele Harley, who we did the back vocals in my studio. So as I say, I did sort of some of the groundwork there, and then took it to Nashville and finished it off. But there are some great singers there, obviously, but it was easier for me to do it here. And then did the other stuff in Nashville, which was, as I say, you get kind of, it's mainly the mixing and the that kind of thing that gives you that sound, So that was the important thing for me, was to get it mixed and mastered there.
Right. Well, you certainly got a lovely sound, and we'll look forward to playing that later on. Just tell us about some of the other tracks then that you covered on the album. You did lots of brilliant ones by the sound of it. Just give us a few highlights, will you?
Well, I kind of, when I came to think about doing this album, I wanted to make sure that I picked ones that were very popular, for one thing, and also that I felt comfortable singing. So I made kind of like a list and got people I knew, what's your favorite love song of all time and all that stuff. I made a huge list. I had like, about 50 or 60 songs to choose from. And then I've kind of just sort of whittled that down to the 12 that's on the album. And a lot of that was to do with, do I like the song? Is it my style? I don't want to do anything that's sort of too schmaltzy or anything. Also that I could sing, because it's important that I felt it was the right style for my singing, my voice. And that was how I sort of chose the songs, And so when I started to do them, I kind of did start recording. That's why I did the basis of it in my studio, because I wanted to check to see if I could sing it properly first. So I did a lot of that first to do, and I've got songs like, I Drove All Night, which was originally Cyndi Lauper, and then Roy Orbison did it. And I've got things like the old Fleetwood Mac, the one for Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I've got that a love song, Need Your Love So Bad, which I really have always loved. So I did that one. Need You Now, which was by Lady Antebellum originally, and My Girl, by it's read into Temptations. So there's, there's a very big selection of songs, but all ones that are very big songs, and also ones that I thought would suit my voice.
Right. Now let's go back to your early days then, before Smokey Heath, and if we can for a moment, just tell us how you got into the industry and got to be so successful.
Well, the group started really with me and Alan Silson, who was the lead guitar player of Smokey. We started when we were at school, getting together, because we both got a guitar for Christmas. This was going back like 1964 or something. And I knew Alan, but I didn't know him that well. And when I came back from the Christmas holidays, he'd got a guitar, I'd got a guitar. So we decided to get together and start to see what we came up with. And that's how the group started, really. We found that we sang in harmony together, and so that was the beginnings of it. And then we got other people in. First of all, a guy called Ron Kelly on drums, who was later replaced by Pete Spencer, and the bass player Terry Utley. And that was the start of the group. We started to go professional and did gigs all over the UK. We were called Kindness then. We did a stint backing Peter Noon, who was the singer from Herman's Hermits. We were his backing group for a while. And we just played all over the country on our own mostly, but made a couple of records early on, which flopped, and then changed the name to Smokey, signed a deal with Rat Records, which was Mickey Most's label. And then we started to, luckily, about 75, had our first hit.
What was the hit? Just remind us.
It was called If You Think You Know How to Love Me.
Oh, yeah, know that well. Okay, and yeah. Just run through a few more of the hits. There were quite a few, weren't there?
We had If You're Thinking How to Love Me, Don't Play Rock and Roll to Me, Something's Been Making Me Blue, Meet You at Midnight, Living Next Door to Alice, Lay Back in the Arms of Someone, Okay, we had about 14 hits. I can't, off the top of my head now, I can't remember. Wild Angels, For a Few Dollars More. You know, we just had a real good spree of for about 5 years of having one hit after the other. And of course, albums that went with them. So we were on our way, and then we started to get successful in other parts of the world. So we were touring all over Europe and America, Australia, Israel, all kinds of places, you know. So we started to do very well, and we were playing arenas and everything in a lot of those places. So we became quite successful, and it was a fantastic time for us because we were all, you know, the same age, went to school together, and it was like, you know, like a dream, like a, somebody could have written the story, you know. And it was great fun.
You mentioned Living Next Door to Alice. Tell us about how that got to be remade with the sort of like naughty version that we all enjoyed a lot.
Oh, well, that was after I'd left. In 1986, I was sort of doing some solo stuff, and I had a big hit in Europe with a song called Midnight Lady. And it went to number one in Germany, and then it went in the charts in Scandinavia and Italy and all these different places. It wasn't released. It was kind of released in England, but not properly. There was no promotion on it or anything. But that was the start of my solo career. So I left the group in 86. And I think about 8 or 9 years later, by the time they'd got a new singer and everything, and they, not me, recorded Living Next Door to Alice again with the swearing bit in the middle.
Yeah, that, I just wonder what inspired them to do that.
Well, I think, as I say, I wasn't in the group by then, but I think basically that they'd been playing in places, and especially in Ireland. And when they got to that part of the song, the Irish crowd just started shouting that out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And so I think because it was kind of something that happened. And then there was an act in Holland called Gompy who brought a version out with that in it. So they thought, well, we might as well do that. I mean, I was, you know, against it, to be honest. It's, I'd left by then. And I thought, why are they doing that? Why are they spoiling this record that was out, you know, 10 years before or whatever, 20 years before? So, but it had nothing to do with me, but they did it. And it was a hit all over again because of that, you know.
I remember it very well, playing it in the clubs as a DJ in the clubs. And yeah, sometimes you get the manager saying, hey, take that off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, mostly when I play it, because of course I play the smoky songs when I'm playing live. I play my own stuff and then back and forwards to smoky stuff as well. And when I do that song, most of the audiences that come to see me don't do that, don't shout that out. But in some countries they do. It just depends. I was just playing in Ireland the day before yesterday, actually. And they all shouted it out because it's the Irish crowd seem to do that. But yeah, you're right. There are places where I remember somebody telling me there was signs up in clubs saying, do not sing Living Next Door to Alice.
All right.
It's not allowed.
Yeah. You've had 20 solo albums yourself, haven't you? What are the ones that you can think of that were really fun doing and that are your favourites?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Reflections was an album I did in the 90s, which I still like a lot. A couple of years ago, I just had an album out called Just a Man, which I'm very happy with, very proud of. So I've had a few albums which I really, you know, it's always the same with people when you make records for so many times. Some of the albums you look back on and think, nah, I don't really think I should have done that one. But the ones that I like, there's one called Crossover I like, one called Don't Knock the Rock, which I like. So there's a few albums which I really like, but there's also a few which I'm not that keen on, to be honest.
And beyond recording, what have you currently been doing?
Well, I apart from touring, I've been touring quite a lot this year because with the COVID thing, you know, a lot of shows were postponed. So I've been catching up with a lot of those shows this year. And I've also done some tours. I just did a tour of a 20-day tour of Germany in March last. And I was in Russia before the trouble started. Did a 8-day tour of Russia, and I've just been playing a lot. I've been working and gigging around the different places over the time, and now I'm starting to write again because this album's out, this Rediscovered Love Songs album's out, and I always start writing again once an album comes out for the next project, which will probably be in about a couple of years. So I've got to start getting songs written at least for that project. So I'm touring, and as I said, I've just been doing a show in Ireland, Germany to do some TV shows, a couple of shows in India.
You're a busy man.
Yeah, well, you know, keeps me going. When you get to a certain age, if you stop, I always worry about just not doing anything anymore and seizing up. So I keep going and just keep playing. And as long as I enjoy it and I'm healthy enough, then it's great, you know. And I love playing to live audiences. It's nothing better than that, really.
Right. Now, give us your social media details then, if you could, Chris.
I don't know how you get on them. I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok. I'm on YouTube, obviously. And I've got my own webpage, Chris Norman. I think it's chris-norman.co.uk. That's my website. I'm on Spotify. I'm on all of the things. So if anybody wants to get any of these songs or download them or anything, they can pretty much go to all the normal places. And I think it's been released as a physical record as well in most places. So you can get it. And I'm on all the media, but I'm not really a big fan, or not a fan, but a participant of all that stuff. So how to get there, I don't know. I guess you just put Chris Norman on Facebook and you'll get it, I guess.
Okay, Chris, we're going to play the new single then.
This song was very famous by Elvis. And as we know, there's been quite a lot of publicity about Elvis with the movie and everything recently. But I recorded this last year, and I kind of took some of the stuff from the Elvis version, and I went back to the original Willie Nelson version, who wrote it, and did a kind of a stripped back version of Always On My Mind.
It's just a timeless track, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those songs that everybody knows. And you know, the way I've done it, as I say, was a kind of a more like the Willie Nelson original version, because it's my version's kind of more slow. And I just like the tune and the song itself, you know.
Thanks ever so much for chatting to us.
Been great. Thanks for having me on.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. And if I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry, I am blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you that I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. Took the time.
is on my mind.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.
in your arms.